From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 23rd day of January 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGV Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. And Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, will be here to look at the cash grain markets. Along the way, Dave Dickey, our Director of Agricultural Programming, will have an update of the agricultural news, and I'll bring you information about the latest letter that's been sent to President Barack Obama about the RFS proposal by US EPA. And then as we close out our half hour together, we'll take a close look at the condition of the soft red and hard red winter wheat crops and what potential dangers might be in the offing for it as more cold weather pours into the Midwest. We'll hear from T-Storm Weather in Chicago and Mike Tenora on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Checking now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for a Thursday afternoon. The March soft red winter wheat at $5.70, up 8 3/4. July, $5.82 1/4, up 8 1/4. The hard red July finished 7 cents higher at $6.23 1/2. March corn, $4.29, a settlement price up 2 3/4. May at $4.35 1/4, 2 1/4 higher. And July corn, $4.41 1/4, up 2 1/4. September at $4.44 1/2, up 2. And December at $4.49 1/4 cents, up 1 3/4. March contract at $4.59, up 1 3/4. In July at $4.69, 2 cents higher. March soybeans, $12.77, down 2 1/2 cents. The May at $12.62 1/2, 2 1/2 lower. In July at $12.50 1/4, down 2 cents. August beans, $12.12 3/4 cents, down 4 1/4. And November beans at $11.08 3/4. The new crop settled 4 1/4 lower. January of 2015 at $11.14 1/4, down 4 1/4 as well. March contract in the bean meal at $418.70, down 70, and the bean oil at $37.86. That finished 2 higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the February at $143.92 1/2, up 25 cents. April's were at $140.60, down $1.20. Feeder cattle January at $170.37 1/2, down a dime. The March at $169.87 1/2, down 50 for the day. And February lean hogs at $85.57 1/2, up 2 1/2 cents. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, March contract, $97.36 a barrel, up 63 cents. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.66 3/10. That's a penny and 3/10 lower. Ethanol futures at $1.80 1/2. That's down 4 7/10 cents. And the difference between the two, or the spread between the ethanol and the gasoline, is 85 8/10 cents wide. That's 3 3/10 cents wider than yesterday. Natural gas at $4.69 6/10, up 7 1/10 cents. And diesel fuel at $3.08, up 4 3/10. Gold futures, $1,262.30 on their settlement price, $23.70 higher. In the U.S. dollar, down 0.72 at 80.43. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Should see sunny skies. It'll be cold with a high of just 5 degrees this afternoon. Wind chill values 11 to 16 below. West-northwest winds at around 16 miles an hour, gust all the way to 23. And then tonight, mostly clear, a low of 7, or negative 7, that is. Wind chill between negative 17 and negative 24. West-northwest winds at 8 to 16. And on Friday, mostly sunny skies, all the way up to 24 degrees with a wind chill of 15 to 25 below, because it'll be breezy at 10 to 15 miles an hour out of the southwest. It will continue to warm right in through the evening. Winds could gust as high as 40. Friday night, snow likely, patchy blowing snow after 7, cloudy, and a low of just 19 degrees, breezy with a south-southwest wind at 20 to 26 miles an hour. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. We always check in with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. He joins us today, I believe, from... Oh, he hasn't picked up his phone
this
yet.
This is Dan Zwicker. I'm away from my
apparently
phone.
Apparently he is not ready for us. I started to dial in. I talked to him just before we went off the show. He was in the Nashville airport, needed about 5 minutes. No worries. We'll get to Dan in just a bit. I'll call him momentarily again. In the mean space, I'd like you to head to our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of information, including what's been happening with willag.org and our John Deere trip, which is scheduled for March 10, 11, and 12. We'll be headed to Moline to see the headquarters and the harvester plant that's in the Quad Cities area to watch the combines being made, and then over to Waterloo, Iowa. We'll see the tractor plant and watch the tractors being made over a 2.5-day period. It's just $500, all-inclusive for the most part. Take a bus ride from here to Peoria if you're in the Peoria area. I believe we can pick you up there, and if you want to pick us up in Moline, we'd be okay with that. It matters not, but we'd like you to come along. You can find all the details on our Follow the Corn John Deere bus trip on the website at willag.org. Again, that's willag.org.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net. Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Once again, it is a Thursday afternoon. It's the 23rd day of January. On the phone line now is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises. They're based in Mandeville, Louisiana, but he's flying out of the airport in Nashville. Good afternoon to you, Dan. How are you?
Good, fine, Todd.
How was Nashville and all the meetings you've been taking in down there?
Well, I was in southern Indiana for some... farmer meeting, so I'm flying out of Nashville, but it's just as cold down here as I think it is up there.
Do you need a moment, Dan, to find a place to sit down and take it easy?
Yeah, I'm fine right now.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna let you sit down and find a place. I'll give you a call back, and we'll go on. Well, is that okay with you?
And no, I'm ready now.
Oh, you're okay.
Yeah.
I know trying to walk and talk and carry luggage can be difficult, so I appreciate you taking the time with us. You've been following the marketplace. There are all kinds of things that seem to be happening in Washington, D.C. The Senate, some of the senators are upset with U.S. EPA and putting pressure on them not to change the RFS, and then you have rainfall in Argentina. And that seems to be in large part responsible for the break in the soybeans earlier in the week and maybe for ideas that the corn crop could get better. What's your view of the marketplace?
Well, I think we're, for the most part, sideways in corn. I think the crop report put a bottom end on it, and now we're probably searching for the upper end of the range. I want to rule out a March corn futures move back to 440, might even punch a little higher than that. But I think we're probably stuck in that, you know, 410 to 440, range for a while in here. Soybeans, are just kind of hanging on by their thread. I think waiting to see how big a crop we do have out of South America. Now, I do understand some of the early yields that's coming in may be a shade disappointing, but we haven't even really begun to get into the larger area, and, you know, the exportable supplies will really hit the market. That really doesn't come into play until you get into April, May. But I think for the most part, we're kind of settling down after the report and just kind of waiting around for something to happen.
Is there any indication for the soybeans that the export market from the United States will slow down more quickly than it has in past years?
Well, it almost is going to have to because we're so front-loaded. I mean, we know more, USDA no more than raised their export estimate after the January crop report, and we've exceeded it. Now, we didn't get any sales numbers here today because of the shortened week, and we'll see what kind of sales we get tomorrow. But my guess is that we're still going to see strong export sales soybeans. Now, maybe those will be canceled at some point in time, but I don't think they'll be canceled until China has a little better idea of what size the crop South America has and how the logistics is going to work, because they got caught last year buying some South American beans, and they could never get them to China quick enough. So that's one thing that we're good at. You know, if you buy them from us, we can get them there. South America still has a lot of infrastructure problems to get those soybeans where they want to be at a particular time.
Well, you know, if China were to cancel or have some cancellations of some cargoes, it has an immediate impact on the marketplace. But do you suppose it would have an overall impact on the marketplace over the long term? And I'm thinking USDA generally has a pretty good idea of what exports might be. And even if they were to cancel, would it simply come out in the wash and not make much of a difference?
Well, it's the psychological part of cancellation and losing demand. That'll be the negative part of it. But it may not happen. It's, you know, the trade's been looking for it any time. I think way too early. I'm more in the opinion that once the beans start flowing out of South America and China can become comfortable that the ships are going to start coming, then they may start canceling or postponing some of our sales for later delivery. It'll just be interesting to see how it works. And of course, you know, everything looks good for now, but we still have a ways to go yet before that South American crop can be signed, sealed, and delivered. It's only January 20th, and I've seen a lot of South American crops get beat up during the month of February. So, I think, you know, the cancellations could come later. But China has a big appetite for soybeans and a protein source, and especially if they really start rejecting some of our DDGs with that strain in them, then they're going to need all the more soybeans.
Dan, you have a safe flight this afternoon. Which direction are you headed?
I'm going to Dallas.
All right. Well, have fun in Texas. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Bye.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, you are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Director of Agricultural Programming will be here in a moment, Dave Dickey, with today's agricultural news.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University
in
of Illinois Extension.
News, USDA's chief economist says that some of the recommendations from a group of University of Illinois ag economists on how USDA can improve its statistics will be easier to implement than others. The easiest, Congress's recently passed budget includes funding for the National Agricultural Statistics Service to resume industrial reports on soybean crush, corn, and wheat grind. Joe Glauber says that other recommendations, like determining the feasibility of a feed use survey for corn, will take more time. The University of Illinois ag economists concluded that unusually large unresolved sampling errors in January crop production in 2009, 2010, and 2012 most likely caused distortions in the grain stocks report for corn. The U of I economists suggested USDA consider taking advantage of consolidation in the livestock industry and sample the largest feeders in each of the major species. The other suggestions focused on increasing transparency around how the World Agricultural Outlook Board arrives at its May, June, and July yield estimates in the WASDE report and how NASS arrives at its yield estimates. A federal judge says that a U.S. regulatory agency's lawsuit can proceed against former New Jersey Governor John Corzine over the collapse of a brokerage firm in one of the nation's largest bankruptcies. The judge said allegations by the agency, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, provide reasonable inferences that Corzine illegally transferred funds from customers' segregated accounts while he was chief executive officer of New York City-based MF Global Holdings. The judge rejected efforts by Corzine's lawyers to dismiss the lawsuit. The biodiesel industry, angered by the EPA's proposal to cut back the biodiesel mandate under the Renewable Fuel Standard, is planning a major campaign to remind President Barack Obama that as a senator, he co-sponsored the bill that created the standard that allowed the industry to grow. Comments on the proposed EPA rule are due by January 28th. National Biodiesel CEO Joe Joe says that if the final rule is similar to the proposed rule, the biodiesel industry will consider suing EPA on the grounds that the new rule violates the RFS statute because the agency is supposed to change the mandates only if severe economic hardship and inadequate supply are proven. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. One other news note for the afternoon. As we told you yesterday, U.S. Senators Dick Durbin, a Democrat of Illinois, and Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, along with Senators Al Franken of Minnesota, John Thune of South Dakota, and 27 of their colleagues have sent a bipartisan letter to the Environmental Protection Agency urging it to firmly support the future of biofuels and revise its proposed waiver of the RFS, or Renewable Fuels Standards. The senators shared their concerns regarding the proposed rule's potential impact on the nation's energy security. Later today, Senator Durbin is scheduled to hold a teleconference with the Illinois corn growers to discuss the importance of biofuels to the state and to discuss his ongoing efforts to work with his congressional colleagues in the Illinois industry and stakeholders to improve the RFS proposal. The letter to U.S. EPA reads in part, Congress passed the RFS to increase the amount of renewable fuel utilized in our nation's fuel supply. The administration's proposal is a significant step backward, undermining the goal of increasing biofuels production as a domestic alternative to foreign oil consumption. It goes on to say the renewable fuels standards provides the EPA with significant authority to adjust to shifting conditions over the 15-year life of the policy. In any given year, EPA can adjust the advanced biofuel and total biofuel volumes based on anticipated production. And while EPA has used the authority to adjust biofuels level, it says, in the past, based on anticipated production levels, the new proposal, for the first time, adjusts the 2014 overall volumes based on criteria not clearly identified in the law below anticipated production levels of biofuels and even below previous years' RFS levels. In essence, it appears those who signed the letter believe U.S. EPA has overstepped its authority as it relates to adjusting the RFS. Naturally, we'll keep you up to date on the situation in Washington, D.C. as it continues to develop.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets is Matt Bennett. He's from TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Are you cold there today, Matt?
Yeah, we're cold like everyone else today.
Does that mean you're staying inside and nobody's moving, or do you have grain trucks loading out today?
Yeah, there's actually a little bit of movement going on. We've got some corn coming in, and we've got some corn going out. We've got a few beans going out as well, so there's fair amount of movement. Guys are trying to get Ben's cord maybe emptied out even.
And is this a suggestion you had to them, or is just pulling the trigger things that were already in the works?
Yeah, to be honest with you, 90% of those are January contracts, so there's not a whole lot of new sales going on that I'm seeing. I think a few guys are hoping maybe for a little more bump out of this cold weather situation. Maybe we'll get a little basis pop in here somewhere, but I think if we could put another 10, 15 cents on this market, I've got several guys probably willing to sell some.
Will we see 10 or 15 cents on corn or not?
That's a good question. I think, to me, if we do get a fair amount of snow again over the weekend and then those bitter cold temperatures, I could see maybe basis popping some. I mean, we've heard about a few areas, you know, like in Iowa, they've got pretty good basis levels in a couple different places, the guys I know. But, you know, here in central Illinois, we're still looking at a fairly similar basis what we've had the last 10 days. So, you know, I don't really see anything major going on unless we get a good weather situation.
As someone who coordinates the movement of this grain, what do you like producers to do for you in order to make grain movement happen in these kinds of cold weather conditions and to get it all set up?
Well, you know, as far as with this situation, guys are asking if they can get trucks here and there. And, you know, it's not easy to do right here in January. Everybody's wanting to move grain. And so anybody that's got their own trucks, we've been trying to keep them very aware of any basis plays, maybe somewhere they can deliver their own grain to market. It works out even better than bringing it in here and me handling again, you know. So anybody that's got trucks, we're strongly urging them to move grain on their own if possible and just, you know, maybe use us to sell it through.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn at 416, fall 424. Cash beans at 1286, fall 1075.
Thanks much, Matt.
Thanks,
stay
Tom.
Warm. Matt
yep.
Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always hear him again at willag.org. And if you'd like to hear Dan again, Zwicker that is, you can do that one other way too. You can go to our website or you can just dial this number, 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. It's just voicemail, updated at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day. Back in 2 minutes.
It's National Rhubarb Pie Day. It's also St. Bernard of Vianney Day, patron of farm workers and field hands. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, the first bridge over the Mississippi River opened in what is now Minneapolis, Minnesota. In 1862, 1,400 varieties of grapevines were brought from Europe and planted in California in the Sonoma Valley. Years later, after blight destroyed much of Europe's vineyards, some of these same vines, now on resistant American rootstock, helped save the European wine industries. In 1932, the El Salvador Army killed 4,000 protesting farmers. The farmers were protesting layoffs and wage cutbacks in El Salvador's western coffee region during the Depression. In 1961, Wilhelm Koppers died, a Roman Catholic priest and cultural anthropologist. He developed theories on the origins of society based on studies of food-gathering tribes. And in 1998, Pope John Paul II condemned a U.S. embargo against Cuba. The embargo, begun in 1962, was enacted after the Castro government confiscated private property of U.S. citizens and the United Fruit Company. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line, Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Mike, thanks for being with us. As you look out over the forecast and consider the cold weather we have now, the snow cover we have across the nation at this point, and what might be in the works for next week, do we have any concerns for either of the hard or soft red winter wheat crops in the nation?
Well, the overall concern is definitely higher for the hard red winter wheat belt, although we will qualify that by saying the overall concern is fairly low just because the area of concern is fairly low relative to the entire wheat belt. The main issue occurs early next week, say Tuesday and Wednesday across the central U.S., as temperatures really plummet to very cold levels, well below zero across a large portion of the northern plains and corn belt, and including most of Illinois for that matter. But in Nebraska and South Dakota, that's where we should see minimal snowpack, and we also should be well below zero. So that's where the winter kill threat is the highest. Even this morning, we calculated that approximately 11% of U.S. hard red winter wheat was at risk of winter kill due to a lack of snowpack and temperatures that fell below zero. That was mainly comprised of coldness in South Dakota and Nebraska and very small portions of northern Kansas and northwest Missouri. In Illinois, we do have to watch the threat around Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. The southern tip of Illinois might not have a whole lot of snow cover, and it will be cold, and that's where the main concern primarily is for soft red winter wheat. But overall, most wheat in the U.S. is either covered by snowpack or won't be cold enough for winter kill.
Let's turn your attention to South America, where the temperatures have been extraordinarily high, at least in Argentina for a while, though I think they're due for some relief.
Well, they've been getting relief. They had thunderstorms over the last 2 days, so we've seen significant rainfall in the top production province of Buenos Aires. And we'll see more thunderstorms not only through tomorrow, but again later next week, sometime around Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the overall concern for Argentina does exist, but it is diminishing. The real concern now will be what happened. How bad was the crop damage from this long-duration heat wave that we've had over the last couple of weeks, and arguably all the way back to the beginning of December, and it also was very dry over that period. So most of the crop damage, if there was crop damage, was probably due to everything that happens from today and then back into the past. Going forward, the forecast is a lot less threatening than it has been.
Argentina has been tough. Brazil's been in a better condition, I think.
Most of Brazil has. The only concern we have there is in southeast Brazil and then adjacent areas to the north and west. We're talking about 20 to 25% of total corn and soybean production in Brazil. That area in particular has been very dry over the last 30 days. Rainfall deficits during that period range from 5 to 8 inches because they have a very wet climate. Around 10 inches of rain would be normal. So we're talking about a very significant departure in that region. But just prior to that period, it was unseasonably wet, so it makes for a complicated situation where it was wet for a while, then it turned super dry, And the question is, would that affect the yield or not? We'll have to wait and see. But it hasn't been perfect in Brazil, but it also hasn't been terrible.
Mike Tenora, of course, is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.